Dan.
Joe.
Dan.
Joe. Hang on.
We have a tradition here, Dan, and you've just ruined it.
Well, I gotta say, I have good reason. You have made a lot of people upset, and we need to straighten things out right from the get-go here.
Are you having an intervention with me? An intervention with Joe?
I believe it's needed. We need to do it.
I am not in the business of making people mad, but I'm willing to hear what you have to say.
Well, I came across a Facebook post of yours recently, and it had a lot of views, a lot of engagement, but a lot of that engagement, people were pretty upset.
Oh boy, it has 2 million views. I'll never do that again. It wasn't worth it.
You made some people mad.
What the heck? There are a lot of people in this world that have anger issues. What the heck was that? I felt like I walked into a buzzsaw or something. That was a long 4 days. That video just took off, and my Facebook was just flooded with comments. And probably the majority of the comments were not very, they weren't very nice.
Now, just to set the table here and give some context, the video, you were wrapping individual sticks of firewood. Yeah. With your wrap, your plastic wrap.
I thought it was funny.
I believe you had listed also that you were selling them for $9.99 each.
Yeah. It's just, come on, man. There are things I believe in this world that are just self-evident. And this was one of them. This is clearly a joke. I was just being funny. But there's a lot of people out there that just did not see the humor in it, or they didn't. It's not that they didn't want to find the humor. They thought I was serious.
Yeah.
And yeah,
they were mad.
Gosh. And I at first started replying, you know, someone just leave a real nasty comment, and I would say, you know, this is a joke, you know, and then, I just gave up on it. And then I had, you know, I still try to maintain my standards. I let them go a little bit on Facebook, but I started deleting, you know, comments with cussing and just, but gosh, there were just some comments that were just rude, inappropriate, that I just had to let them go, man.
And they were more or less like, not angry yet. They were angry because you were using so much plastic on one piece of wood and selling it for such a high price.
There was a lot of people mad about different things. And the first one that really got the most of the comments that I just thought were like, I just would scratch my head at them. They were politics. There were people it was like it triggered them and their own brand of politics. And the longer I live, I have a theory about this. And have you ever heard of it's called the Rorschach test, the Rorschach, was that from Welcome Back, Kotter? One of my favorite shows from the 70s. It's called the Rorschach test. It's the ink blot test. Have you ever heard of that? It's like a psychological examination. You get a blank sheet of paper and you dribble ink all over it, and then you fold it in half, and then you open it up, and then it creates this image, and then you just start speaking what comes to mind. And it's like a way to determine, you know, I don't know, obsessive thinking or whatever. So like it would be like a divorced lady would look at it and say, you know, that looks like my husband when I drive over top of him with a steamroller, you know, or, and it seems like these Facebook posts at times are a Rorschach test, because people, you know, who I would say you watch, you're sitting in front of the evening news way too much, because I don't see what firewood and politics have in common. I just don't. I don't see it. But man, oh man, there was just politics galore, which I just found interesting. And then, you know, the plastic crowd.
Oh, yes.
Who were just offended that there was plastic. And the others that, you know, thought, you know, the ripoff crowd, not that.
Yeah. It was just,
you know, come on, man. I am wrapping a single stick of firewood in plastic. Do you not find that funny? I do. I think it's hilarious. And then I'm going to sell it for $9.99 for a stick of firewood. And people believed it to be true.
And that was your intention, was strictly comedic.
Just to be, yeah.
Humor.
Parody. Satire. Yes.
Right. Nothing else.
That was funny. Yeah, for the people that are just offended by bundles, you know, because you're just getting a paltry amount of firewood versus, you know, if you bought an entire cord of it. So I thought I would just take it one step farther. And then I thought I would just make it so obvious. I called it I Am a Genius was the name of it. You know, like, I come on, man. It was just so obvious that this was a joke, but holy cow. Well, I got 2 million views and like 1 million comments that I'm an idiot. Which, well, I found ironic, but whatever.
I think you need to now, like, you just used the right phrase. You need to take it one step further. I think you need to build upon that. Find a way to do something above and beyond that.
I am thinking of making even more singles, but I'm going to staple handles onto them.
Yes.
yeah. Or I will, or I'll wrap a bunch of individual sticks and then I'll wrap them all into a bundle.
I was just going to say that. Individual wrapped bundle of firewood.
Yes. I love it. Yeah, that is, I think there is a lot of different ways that I could take this. Those were the ones that came to mind, but now the rusty wheels are grinding in my head.
You need to, you have to do it. We'll be looking forward to what you come up with next.
Wow. But that was, every time I would open up my Facebook, there'd be another 100 comments. And I'm serious. There are people out there, Dan, they got people, I mean, okay, whatever, you know, if you relate this to something that's not related to firewood, more power to you. But there are people out there that's got, you cannot read one of their comments and not think that this person's got some issues. Just very twisted, bizarre stuff over what is supposed to have been a funny, satirical video.
Oh, I know all too well. Let me tell you, I am well aware. Yep.
Yeah. But, well, that's what I was thinking. I don't know why I did this. Now it's not fun anymore. Well, but
you know, some people might be out there watching that video saying, man, this guy has got one twisted pun sense of humor.
Yeah.
He's boy, all this, wrapped up in himself.
Oh my gosh. You're really stretching the truth here.
Oh,
yeah. Well, anyway. stay tuned, guys. I'm going to up my game here and see how far we can take this.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, anyhow, everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Woodhounds podcast. My name is Joe, and this is my good friend, Dan. We are both YouTube personalities, and when we are not creating an international scandal with our our allegedly humorous posts, we are the personalities of the Woodhounds podcast, the largest firewood podcast in the world.
Yes, and I don't know that we might have to just right there. That was, I think, a whole episode worth of entertainment. I don't know if we can go any further with this podcast.
Yeah. Well, it isn't that all of these comments, you know, were just head scratchers, but at least here with the podcast, we get very pleasant and supportive emails.
Yes.
And I am understanding that we had received one after our last episode, which was about what? I'm scratching my head here. I'm still dealing with the trauma of Facebook.
We were talking about expanding and hiring help,
yes,
and growing our business and all that stuff.
Yes.
And there I was going to mention that, you know, hearing from people, whether it through comments or like here on the podcast, through emails, we greatly appreciate that. And we have one today to discuss.
Okay, let's hear it.
And this is from our good friend Jack over at Log Cabin Firewood. That is the name of his YouTube channel, Log Cabin Firewood.
Okay. I believe I met Jack last fall.
Yes,
at the Paul Bunyan show.
I've met him a few times, and he is a heck of a guy.
Yeah, seemed very nice.
So Jack writes us an email, and he said he always looks forward to Wednesdays, listening to the podcast. And he's got a couple of questions here. So I think we can just kind of break it down into sections and kind of go over everything.
Sure.
The first part that he was wondering about was, what equipment do we think makes life easier in the woodyard? Like tractors, excavators, skid steers. And then... Okay. If we were to both buy what we bought again, would we do it the same way? And would we finance it or save up to buy it?
Okay. So he's not talking about firewood machines. He's talking about supporting machines, I guess, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Equipment to make life easier, I guess, with firewood.
Yeah. So I think you and me have a very similar tractor. Mine is the Bobcat CT2040. It's a 40 horsepower compact tractor. And I love mine. Yours is a what? But I think they're made by the same tractor company in South Korea known as Daedong.
Yes, I have a Coyote CK2610, which is your tractor is my tractor painted white. Mine is orange and yours is white, but it's the exact same tractor.
Yeah, well, how many horses yours, though?
Mine is 25.
Okay. So, okay, I am here to tell you that I would absolutely buy my tractor, the exact same tractor again, and it is to the point where I'm also considering, because mine's like 3 years old, it's got a five-year warranty, I am considering trading it in and getting the exact same tractor again, just to like get me another 5 years of warranty, you know. Trading it in now while I have a better trade-off value on it, I would be lost. It's probably, I always say, like your pickup truck's your most important machine in firewood, but outside of that, I think it's my tractor. It's that big of a role player.
Yeah, I would agree. I would do the exact same thing again. The only thing I would do different is I would have a third function valve installed when I bought it.
Yeah.
So I could run a grapple on the front.
Which mine, I had mine installed when I bought it because I knew I would be running a grapple. But I'm still scarred by that experience because it's expensive. Why is that third function? It was like $1,000, I think, to put it on. I was like, serious? But you know, when you're buying it, you just buy it and it doesn't hurt as much. But I've been left scratching my, I think that's kind of pricey for a third function.
I think valve. it's the labor installing it, I think, is what adds up. But yeah, I recently quoted $1,200 to install it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, but man, is it nice. Cause I started off with forks doing my logs first, which you can get by with, but it's not as nice as having a grapple.
No.
Oh,
It's so that, yeah, I would. And the only reason I went with 25 horse was my dealer told me that unless I was doing farm work, like pulling a plow or brush hogging, or, you know, my main concern was the lift capacity, moving around firewood. So he said, you'll be just fine with the 25 horse power model, because with Coyote, all of the 25, 35, and 40 horse compact tractors have the same loader.
Yeah. So
they can lift the same amount. So the horsepower doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I had, when I bought mine, I saw that because also the 25 horse does not have emissions.
No.
So my 40 horse does, it's a tier 4, but it does not have DEF, doesn't have DEF, but it does do the regen thing. And that is what has me the most scared because, you know, if it's not in warranty and something goes weird with that, gosh, that's got to be expensive to fix. And I just don't want to have to deal with it. But I also, the reason I got a tractor instead of a skid loader was one, because they're way more affordable. but they come with a PTO because I still have acreage. I like to bring it home. I brush hog with it. If it were to ever snow here in Ohio again, I would use it for snow blowing. So I felt, you know, having extra horsepower at the PTO would benefit me. So I went with the larger one.
Yeah, I didn't go with the, I went with the tractor for the same reason, just much better price point, skid steer, excavator. I think with an excavator, like a mini excavator, you're kind of limited. Like you can't really, you know, like with a tractor, I can just throw the bucket on, scoop up dirt, take the bucket off, put the forks on, move a tote of wood. You know, it's more versatile in my opinion and more affordable. Way more affordable.
Yeah, I had looked at mini excavators before I bought my tractor. And the only ones that I could afford were the ones that looked like they've been pushed off a mountainside. And I was told, you know, I think they were telling me if you can't afford a new one, you cannot afford a used one. Because they will eat your lunch.
Yeah.
You know, if one of those main gears or bearings or something go bad in them, they're very, very pricey to fix.
So on the whole topic of buying, I financed mine at 0%. I'm not sure what you did, but I just found that to be, you know, coming from a position of a hobbyist, it was a lot. It was just better for me to just, you know, take 0% interest rate for, I think it was 6 years, finance it out, that, you know, get it.
Yeah. I remember there was a sale with mine. The Bobcat was still kind of new and they had a very low price. So the Bobcat was cheaper than all the other tractors that I was looking at. Cause I looked at New Holland and LS and John Deere. Well, I had a bad experience at the John Deere dealer, but that's another story. And what's the red one? Mahindra. Yeah, I looked at them. Yeah, but the Bobcat was the easiest. And that's when I ran into my friend Marty. And, you know, all it takes is just that relationship. And he just made it easy to purchase, number one. So Bobcat, though, so they were cheaper. And then they also had if you bought it, they would throw in the front end loader for free. And there was still the option for 0% financing. But just because of the way I ran my business and I bootstrap everything and I pay cash for everything, I had my money already saved up from the previous year. So I just paid cash on it.
Yeah. So you kind of knew that you were looking, you kind of saved up, you were planning ahead.
Yep.
To buy it.
Yeah, all my major capital expenditures, for all you accountants out there, I try to pay cash. And I know there's people that are just, you know, they scream at that, but I like to sleep at night. And I also have a very powerful statistic that I will share with you, that 100% of every repossessed tractor in the world had a loan on it. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Words of wisdom here.
Prove me wrong.
that does make sense. But like I mentioned, you know, I just at the time I was like, hey, here's the deal. I can't remember what the deal was. It was something similar, but I just didn't want to take all of my savings, you know, drop it on the tractor because it wasn't enough to buy it outright anyway. So I knew I would be making payments. The payments were low and that's what I did.
But I would tell Jack, if you do figure out what you want to get, I still think it comes down to the dealer, and I'm having flashbacks. And I did a, not those kind of flashbacks. I am having flashbacks because it was not a pleasant experience, a shopping experience. I had bizarre visits to dealers looking to buy one, and I wasn't kicking tires, you know. And my purchase of the Bobcat, you know, once I knew this is it, it was it. And I could not get waited on in a number of these places. I could not get emails returned. Like, I still remember I was on all of the websites, and they would have that field that you send, you fill it out and click send, and they'll, you know, for a quote, and then they'll get in touch with you. I probably filled out about five of them, and the only one that replied was Bobcat. And that's what I was talking about, the John Dealer, or the John Deere dealer. I was literally the only person in that store, you know. They have like a parts counter, you know, and then like some stuff on the side. They sell some chainsaws over there, and then they got some tractors on the sales floor. I was literally the only person in the store, and no one would come out and say, "Hey, how are you? What are you doing?" You know,
what are you doing here?
Yeah. So green was not in my future. Yeah.
The dealer and the service is a big part of it, because you need to order filters. You need to do maintenance on these things. And that's the one thing I like with where I bought mine from, is I can call them up. They know who I am. They know what I have. And I tell them what I need, and they send it out.
Yeah. I think it is a very good barometer. If you find it difficult to buy something off of a dealer, how do you think they're going to be when you're having trouble?
Yep.
You know, exactly. You're trying to give them your money and you're finding that difficult. To me, that is a clue.
Take your money elsewhere.
Yeah. There's just way too many other places out there, to buy stuff. And then that's the other thing too. You know, I've said this in the past, really you're splitting hairs on these tractors. They're all nice.
Yeah.
You know, they're all nice. They're all right around the same price. There's not a lot of innovation. There's not a lot of creativity. Everyone copies everyone else's designs. So, you know, find the one where the dealer gives a darn and go for it.
All right. And then the other part of his email, there's another half of it here. He was wondering about whether or not he knows we're both sole proprietors, but do we have an LLC set up? And he's thinking about potentially doing that. He just wanted to know, like, what are the benefits? What is the, you know, would you recommend looking into setting up an LLC?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I preach that, especially in firewood. I don't know what other industries. I'm trying to think of stuff right now, maybe landscaping or lawn mowing and stuff, you know, where people just do it for a side hustle, but especially firewood. If you're serious, if you are wanting to make a go at it, if you're looking to become an established, legitimate business in your area, and it's something that you can sustain your family and your lifestyle with and grow, you absolutely need to file with your state and, you know, talk with your accountant or your attorney and find out what corporate structure is best for you. But usually, I don't know about all states, but, you know, the one is the limited liability corporation, which is LLC. And at least in Ohio, you don't have to label it LLC. They give you like four or five different options. But I chose LTD because I think it looks more exclusive. looks count for something here, right?
I went with LLC. I think, I don't know in Wisconsin if I had that option or not, but I would agree. If you're thinking about doing it, just do it.
Yeah.
It has a lot of advantages to doing it.
Yeah. The big one that always kept me, because I had all these brilliant ideas for a business, but I never took a step to starting it, except for Ohio Woodburner. I was always worried about all of the hassle with the taxes and the this and the that. And for me to find out that it's not that big of a deal at all, because like, now we're talking to our viewers here in the United States, to the people in Europe and elsewhere, you may not understand what we're talking about here, but the tax structure is a pass-through entity. So you know, the money that you generate goes onto your own tax return. But you know, it just helps any even like a beginner that just started like a tax preparation business can do it. It's not difficult. And you just find someone, because some of these accountants are very expensive to deal with, but there are a ton of them out there that will do your tax returns cheap. And you know, the write-off would pay for, you know, filing your papers. I'm talking about the write-off of paying someone extra to do your taxes. It's really a simple task, and it immediately gives you street cred. You can open your own bank account with that name. You can get an insurance policy with that name. You can start establishing credit so that you're, if you do get trucks or equipment, you know, it can be titled in the company. And that's what you're doing, is you are putting a legal buffer between you and any of the pitfalls that are out there that you can step into.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. And I would also advise, find an accountant or a tax person. I found a lady that is great, and she, you know, she'll tell me things to do and look at and think about. Like, I wasn't aware, well, I probably was aware of this, but I didn't even think of it. I, as my LLC, I can hire my son and pay him, and it's a tax deduction for me then.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So because he's under 18, all I have to do is track his hours. And so I'm like, that sounds fabulous, because he's been wanting to do a few things. Uh-huh. And so I asked him what his hourly rate would be if I hired him, and he told me $3. So $3 an hour, heck, I've got him out there making that mini firewood like crazy.
Yeah, I have to be careful with that. If I hire my daughters, they'll both go out on strike and put me out of business.
Yeah, that is a potential downside there. But yeah, there are a lot of advantages, tax advantages, and especially if you are, you know, the one thing is, the advice that I was given from my accountant was, a lot of people start a business or file for an LLC just because they think, you know, they're going to get all these write-offs. And she told me, like, at some point you do have to show that you're making money. That's the point of being in business.
Yeah. That's the tough part.
Yeah. You can't always claim losses.
Yeah. You got to eventually start making money, or people start asking questions.
Right.
Yeah. No question about that. I can only speak for Ohio and my experiences, because it's the only state I have ever done this in. You know, there are online companies that will file your paperwork for a small fee. And I mean small, probably like $100 or less. But when I looked into it, and then I looked at the forms that are in Ohio, they are all online with the Secretary of State. I did it myself. It was easy. It was like, I can't remember. It was like $25 or $50 to file a paper, and that was it.
Yep.
And, you know, you can search, there's a website. Every state's different. It's probably under your Secretary of State, or I don't know if it would be the Attorney General. I don't know what it is, but if you were just to do like filing a business in my state, you know, you'll figure it out real quick. But there is, you can search for business names and search to see if your business name is available. You know, and that's how you get your start. So you figure out which business name is available, and then you find the right form, you fill it out and click send, mail in a check. And guess what?
You're in business.
Yeah. And then from there, it's just getting your tax ID number with the IRS, which again is a cakewalk. It's all done online.
Yep.
Mail them a check for like $20 and you're done. And then with that, they give you, it's called an EIN number. So like an individual has a social security number, a business has an EIN, employee identification number. That is your number to go get a bank account at the bank down the road. And you're in business, man.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's exactly what I did. All of those steps.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, I understand that people just say, this is cash, I'm just leaving it at that. I ain't spending no money on taxes. I'm not paying taxes. You know, I'm just keeping this for me. But if you were to consider filing your paperwork and becoming a business and then reporting all your income, it seems that you will wind up making more money than you would have just selling it for cash under the table, because you're making yourself more attractive as a vendor. And a lot of businesses who would not do business with you because you're not a legitimate business will. Because just because you're an LLC or an LTD, whatever it is, and you have an insurance policy, you got credibility, you're legitimate, and you've opened way more many doors for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
So there you go. Jack.
Jack. Yeah, Jack, the best time to file your paperwork with your state was yesterday.
That's right, because right now I just filed Log Cabin Firewood LLC.
You've claimed that business, and you will sell it to him for $99.95.
Just kidding, Jack.
Yeah.
But hopefully that answered your question. If not, you know, send us another email. And if anyone else listening has any questions around topics like this, thewoodhounds@gmail.com.
There you go. All right. Well, Dan, maybe we finished our task list for the day. You yelled at me for angering the United States because of a video.
Yeah.
And we've read an email on the air. And we discussed the contents of it. I think we did pretty good.
I'm just trying to decide if I need to take the back exit out of Woodhound Studio here, because there might be a mob out front waiting for you.
I'll just start calling you Joe when we go outside.
But yeah, I think we got everything covered here today. So excellent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in and helping make the Woodhounds the number one firewood podcast in the world.
That's right. And you can find us on all major streaming services. And when you do find us, go ahead and click that 5-star rating.
Yeah, that would be a big help. It really does mean a lot if you were to do that. And thanks in advance.
Yes.
So, Dan, let me just tell you this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Stay
cool. Safe. Yeah. Actually, I better stay safe with these angry people.
File your
business
with your state and have
a great day.